Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Have you ever had a week where it started out so well and then it just ended miserably? I mean, here we are at the cross. Jesus is dying. He's near death. But this is not how our week started. Jesus told us we were going to Jerusalem for the Passover, and we were excited, and yet we could tell that there was something happening. Jesus' whole demeanor had changed. And as we approached Jerusalem, this was a few days ago on Sunday, he sent a couple of the disciples, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Philip and Nathaniel. He said, go to the village ahead of you, and you're going to find a donkey there and her colt, and bring them to me. And if anyone questions you and asks what's going on, just tell them that you'll bring them back. And so they brought the donkey to us, and we put our cloaks on its back, and Jesus got on the donkey, and we started making our way into the holy city. Oh, and the people were so excited. They were so excited. They started shouting and singing praises to Jesus. They even would climb the tree and they cut down palm branches and they were waving them as we were making our way into Jerusalem. We felt special. We felt welcome. We felt loved. And they were singing. They were saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it was such a joyful time. And yet as I glanced at Jesus, I could tell his demeanor had still changed. He was always focused in his ministry. He was always intent on doing the will of God. But there was a different look in his eye. He was more focused and more intent, and I'd never seen him before. And the people, though, that day as we entered Jerusalem, they were so joyful. The crowds were saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And there were still those who were wondering, what is going on? What's all this commotion all about? There were those who were saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds responded, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What a day that was. Little did we know what this week would have in store for us. On Monday, on our way to the temple, Jesus was even more focused. We could see a change in his demeanor. We walked past a fig tree. And you know what Jesus did when he saw that the fig tree was not bearing fruit? He cursed that fig tree because it failed to bear fruit. And then when we got to the temple, Jesus saw all the commotion that was happening there in the temple, and he was fixated on the money changers, and he could tell that they were overcharging the people, and there was so much commerce taking place, and he became so indignant. I've never seen Jesus like this before, but he started yelling at the money changers, and he overturned their tables, and he kicked them out of the temple, and he said, "You have made this place a den of thieves, but my house is to be a house of prayer." Oh, Jesus was so intent that day. He was so focused. You could tell something was happening within him. We didn't quite understand what was going on. We tried to get some rest that Monday night. On Tuesday, we walked past that withered fig tree that Jesus had cursed the day before. And he talked to us disciples about the importance of having faith and bearing fruit. Later that afternoon, we went to the Mount of Olives, just east of the temple. You know where it's at. Where Jesus sat us down and he gave us an elaborate discourse about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the age. He spoke to us in parables. He used symbolic language about the end times, his second coming, the final judgment. It was so much for us to take in. We didn't know it at the time, but this was also the day that Judas Iscariot was negotiating with the Sanhedrin to have Jesus betrayed. After two very exhausting days in Jerusalem, we spent Wednesday just resting in Bethany in anticipation of the Passover. On Thursday, we went to the upper room back in Jerusalem, and we shared the Passover with Jesus. And we all sat and reclined, and we shared a meal together. And then Jesus said something very unnerving to us. He said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." And then he said to us, "For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." We didn't understand what he was saying. And yet, that look in his eye, he was even more focused than he'd ever been before. And we could tell something was about to happen. And then Jesus did something remarkable. I've never had an experience like this before. He got a basin and filled it with water and a towel. And he instructed us to remove our sandals. And Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher, got on his knees and one by one began to wash our feet. I was dumbfounded. Peter said, "No, Lord, I can't wash my feet." I was thinking the same thing. Who is he to wash our feet? We should be washing his feet. And then Jesus talked to us about being a servant and loving others even as he loved us. It was a moment I will never forget as Jesus washed our feet. Then we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus asked us to pray, but we were so tired. It had been a long week, a long day, and Jesus went off not too far from us and was praying very intently to the Father. Oh, I tried to pray. We all tried to pray, but we were so tired. We fell asleep. And Jesus came to us. He said, "Could you not just stay awake for 1 hour and pray?" We tried. We really did. Then we heard some commotion from the trees not too far away, and Judas came with some Roman officials and some officials from the Sanhedrin. And you know what Judas did? He walked up to Jesus and he kissed him on the cheek. And they arrested Jesus. And we knew that whatever was happening was now to be accelerated as we watched them take Jesus away. We didn't know where they were going to take him, but they ended up taking him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the whole council had gathered to begin to make their case against Jesus. We didn't know what was going to happen. Then early, early Friday morning, we saw that they had taken Jesus before Pilate. Pilate didn't know what to do with Jesus. He didn't know what to do. He was listening to his officials. He was listening to the crowds. And then finally, Pilate comes before the whole crowd and he says, "Listen." And he brought out a a criminal named Barabbas. And he told the crowd, he said, "Who do you want me to release? This prophet from Nazareth, Jesus, or Barabbas?" Now let me tell you about Barabbas. You know about Barabbas. He was a criminal sentenced to die under Roman law for insurrection and murder. And yet Pilate is asking the crowd who to release. And you know what the crowds did? They turned on Jesus. They said, "Release Barabbas, give us Barabbas, the criminal, and crucify Jesus." And this is where we're at. They crucified Jesus. He didn't speak much while on the cross for 6 hours, but I'll never forget the words that he spoke when he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then when he said to the criminal, the thief, who was repentant, he said, "Surely this day you will be with me in paradise." Then from the cross, when he looked at his mother and he said, "This is your son," referring to me, and then he looked at me and he said, "This is your mother," he was asking me to care for her. And then in that agonizing cry, I'll never forget, he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then he was thirsty, and he cried out, "I am thirsty." Not too long ago, he said, "It is finished." And then just a few moments ago, maybe you heard what he said, he looked up to heaven. And just as he began his cries from the cross, he ended his cries from the cross. He looked up to the Father and he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." All the time we'd spent with Jesus, he was trying to teach us that for us to find ourselves in the will of God, in the hands of God, is the very best place to be. And even now, his last words before he died, he commits his spirit into the hands of his Father. Did you hear the centurion not too far away? And when Jesus said those final words, the centurion, a Roman pagan, said, "Surely this man was a righteous man." Yes, they crucified a righteous man. What a week this has been. What a day this has been. I'm still processing all of this. And to be very honest with you, I am not sure where we go from here. Rescue for sinners. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Just yesterday, I picked up a biography on Thomas Edison, who is credited for inventing the light bulb, but also had other inventions, was a very inquisitive mind. If you know me, I like to read biographies, and so I'm excited to dig into it, and it'll go in my collection with other biographies, such as the one I have on Albert Einstein and St. Augustine and Billy Graham and so many others. As I read biographies, it's interesting to learn about people, their upbringing, their training, their education, their personal life, their accomplishments. But when you get to the end of the book of most biographies, there's not a whole lot about their death, maybe a little bit about how they died and when they died and things like that. Well, if you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not really biographies of Jesus. I like to call them gospelographies because, yes, they focus very, very little. We know very little of the childhood of Jesus. And we know of the ministry of Jesus, the three and a half years he spent with the disciples. But all four of the Gospels spend an incredible amount of time talking about leading up to his death and then talking about Holy Week, the last week of the life of Jesus. They spend an incredible amount of time on the death of Jesus and following. Why is that? I mean, his life was amazing. His ministry was amazing. His teachings are amazing. We're not taking away any of that. But there's something about the sacrificial death of Christ that makes his life and his death different than any other person who lived in the history of the world. So this week, during Holy Week, look through the Gospels and see for yourself how much time they spend focused on the last week in the life of Jesus and the death and the sacrifice of Christ. It's because something very significant happened on the cross. Something divine happened as God in Christ Jesus, through his sacrificial death, reconciled a broken and fallen world back to God. And so that's why this time, this series in Lent, focusing on the words of Jesus on the cross, is so important. That's why this week is so important. That's why Wednesday night we will gather for prayer, and Friday night, Good Friday, we will gather again for prayer to reflect on the death, the sufferings of Christ on the cross. And then, of course, Christ instituted the Eucharist, the Last Supper, Holy Communion, as a way for us to always remember and participate in the sufferings and death of Christ. So the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gave these instructions to the early church in Corinth. He said, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so today, as we have every Sunday in Lent, we will partake in Holy Communion as a way of entering into the sufferings of Christ, reflecting on his last week, his death on the cross. And so we will partake in Holy Communion. You do not need to be a member of our church to partake in Holy Communion. We just ask that you are trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and following him and following in his example and receiving the gift of salvation that he offers to you, to me, and to the entire world. And so, would you come and this side receive the elements? And on this side, come row by row and receive the elements. Take them back with you, and then we will partake of Holy Communion together. Father, we confess our sins before you. We confess that we are in need of a Savior. We recognize, to the best of our ability, the sacrifice of Christ, all during Holy Week, but especially the night of Passover, the night Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweat drops of blood with anticipation of what was before him, the betrayal, the trials, the heartache, the beatings, the sufferings, the crown of thorns, and of course the crucifixion. All of it served a divine purpose. And so with great humility, as we confess our sins and our need for a Savior, we will partake in communion today, as Jesus instructed, as His followers have done for 2,000 years, as a way for us to remember to live our lives with great humility and great thankfulness for what God in Christ has done for us. In Your name we pray. Amen. The bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat, knowing that Christ died for you. The juice, of course, represents the precious blood of our Lord, which was spilled on behalf of humanity. Take and drink, knowing that Christ died for you. And would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology together in thankfulness to our God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and stay focused on Him and His sufferings during this Holy Week. And all God's people said, Amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.